never looked so blue. So hard to leave it. That's what I always do. So I keep thinking back to a time under the canyon moon. The world's happy waiting. Doors yellow, broken blue. I heard Jenny saying, go get the kids from school. And I keep thinking back to a time under the canyon moon. All through Rome, and I'm still thinking back to the time under the canyon. Songs I've never heard. An old lover sipping music, pretends not to know the words. And I keep thinking back to the time under the canyon. I know. Are we gone too long from you?
Welcome to Scribble on Sunday, though I should say with this new download show, it'd probably be better called Scribble on any day. So it's down to you. You choose when you want to listen to it, and I'm all for that. People say the old days are better, but I like the new millennium, and I like it giving you the choice to have a listen to this radio show when you feel like it. There we go. Much to my program controller's delight, who I dare say was imagining I would open up this new show with Led Zeppelin or Jimi Hendrix. That was, in fact, Harry Styles, Canyon Moon, from his excellent second album, Fine Line. And trust me, that is a really, really good album. And it weren't just me that liked it. It went to number one in America, making it Harry's second number one in the US. And it's also been certified triple platinum. Not bad, eh? Good old Harry. I do like his music, and I have to admit, I do like his style. Very, very smart. Very Beretti, if you get my drift. For those who haven't lent your ears to this show before, basically expect the unexpected. The music policy and theme is really, really simple. Great songs. And to prove that point is a band I doubt you've come across on too many occasions, but they are worthy, more than worthy, for the next 6.5 minutes of your life. Cue the superb 90s band, Jellyfish.
Okay.
Yep, told you it was superb tonight. Jellyfish, formed in San Francisco around 1989, led by songwriters Andy Sturmer, who's on drums and lead vocals. Don't see that too often, do you? I do remember the band, I think, and the Eagles had drummers that sang, and Roger Manning on keyboards. That band, absolutely top draw. Real musicians band. They released two albums, Belly Button in 1990, and then the two tracks from the album I just played, from the critically acclaimed album, I should say, Spilt Milk. Sadly, and bizarrely, when you just heard the quality of them songs, they had everything in there, didn't they? Beatles, Queen, Zeppelin, Beach Boys. Great album. I can't recommend it enough. I envy you if you haven't heard Jellyfish before. So two great albums, but go for Spilt Milk first, 1993 Spilt Milk, because it will blow your head off if you're into the Beach Boys, Beatles and Queen, etc. As per usual, sometimes in music, great albums just pass the public by, and that was the case for Jellyfish. Neither album made a serious dent on the world of popular music. It was released in February the 9th, 1993. Only 164, number 164 in the US chart. Apparently, they put it down to it being released during the height of grunge, but it's just weird, isn't it? But like their mentors, the Beach Boys, they were heavily influenced by the Beach Boys. The album did much, much better in England, UK, reaching number 21 in the charts and reaching my ears back in the day. As I said, they are what I would call a musician's band, and what they produced was musically stunning. And talking of being musically stunning, here's two great cover versions of two great songs. British duo The Humans, delightful take on the Stone Roses' Elephant Stone. And a top tribute to the classic ensemble of Mamas and Papas by a bunch of students from California. Enjoy.
Yeah.
Like them. Two great cover versions. Probably the first one really changed it from the original. The second one was a proper sort of tribute, wasn't it? And so the first one was The Humans. Just an English duo. Found them on YouTube. And I really like that light take on the Stone Roses, Elephant Stone. And then California Dreaming. And that was recorded by a bunch of students from California School of Rock. How times have changed. I didn't hear anything like that in my old music lessons when I was at Bletchley's Leon School. I think our high point of musical ability was managed to keep time for the ear-damaging version of Yellow Submarine. I can vividly recall the horror on parents' faces when the army of out-of-tune and out-of-time recorders kicked in. Things like that stay with you. And I do recall my good friend, about 6 foot six, Dave Gilbert, playing tambourine. That was a sight to behold as well. To be fair, we did have a great music teacher, actually a wonderful music teacher at Leon School called Mrs. Capp, who looked like Mrs. Brown, but she always took time out to encourage us, like me, a bit of a Leon oik, shall we say, who loved music. And she even let my school band deafen everyone at the end of term concert. You know, you had Beethoven and people singing Shirley Bassey and whatever. And then me and my mate Geordie, and a guy named Slim on bass, we did about a 20-minute version of The Who's Tommy. It was probably awful, and it was really, really loud. But she still clapped and said, well done, boys. Great. Got a lot of time. Great teacher, and it was a great school, actually. I really enjoyed myself at Leon School. Didn't learn anything, but I did enjoy it. And people forever moan that life is not as good as the old days, and they're right. It's miles better. Yeah, it's tough in 2023, but kids and students who are into music are made aware of opportunities that lay before them now. But we didn't get at Leon School in 74. I think the only people who visited the school was the RAF, the Army and the Navy and Wolverton Works. And that was really our opportunities going out into the big wide world. And a lot of my friends took them, actually. I didn't. I remember putting down, Leon gave you a sort of a goodbye form. I think they gave me mine first before anyone else because they couldn't wait to see the back of me. And I remember filling it out and it said, what do you plan to do with your life? And I always remember this, and I just wrote down record producer. I thought I was going to be sort of George Martin or something. And yeah, it got nowhere near it. And then when I was walking the dogs the other day, actually, considering what I've done in life, some of the things, I suppose you could say I've produced music, but not for any money and not for any awards, just for glory. Okay, let's get back to the music, and here's a good one. And it's two songs here with a connection. I doubt if you'll be able to get it. You're going to have to listen really closely to get the connection between the two songs. The Hole of the Moon and Changes.
Baker, I'm much too fast to take that test. Change it.
Turn and face the strain.
Change it. I wanna be a richer man. Change it.
Turn and face the strain.
Change it. It's gonna have to be a different man. But never leave the stream of warm and permanent sand. So the days float through my eyes, but still the days seem the same. And these children that you spit on as they try to change their worlds are immune to your consultations. They're quite aware of what they're going through.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't tell them to blow up on all of it.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Where's the shame you've left us up to our necks and in? Time may change me, but you can't twist time.
Songs, great songs. Hole in the Moon, Scottish band The Waterboys, released as a single from This Is the Sea in October 1985. Written and produced by Mike Scott. And yeah, it wasn't a big success, actually. It was one of them that's become an anthem without actually being a massive hit. Funny enough, it was when it was re-released in 1991, it sort of got its just reward, should we say, and it got to number three and got an Ivan Novello Award for best song musically and lyrically. Excuse me. And the feature of that song is the trumpet, really, isn't it, on the recording, brilliantly played by a guy named Roddy Lorimer. Wonder if he's a relation of the great Leeds winger Peter Lorimer, but I don't know. I should know things like that, but I don't. And it came about, really, because Scott, the writer of the song, Mike Scott, he just wanted to really do, like everybody wants to do, be the Beatles when he got in the recording studio, and he wanted the horns to sound like Beatles Penny Lane. And fair play to Roddy Lorimer, he did a really good job. Now the connection. Okay, the urban myth to that song is that David Bowie is on backing vocals near the end. Backing vocals, I should say, near the end. And if you listen closely, I have to say, it really does sound like him, though it's never been confirmed. Excuse me. But to say, if you flip back, you're on a download, have a listen to just the end of the song, Hole in the Moon, and it really does sound like David Bowie. But again, one of them great urban myths, and so never been confirmed. Changes, 1971. What a song. What a song. Recorded at Trident Studios. Been there, love that. Produced by Ken Scott. Rick Wakeman on piano. And, of course, the musicians who would later become the Spiders from Mars. The brilliant, the great, the genius of Mick Ronson, Trevor Boulder and Mick Woodmansey. And the song, actually, is the first time David Bowie recorded himself playing saxophone on it. He did a good job. And this is the astonishing part of Changes, I find, is that it was Tony Blackburn's single of the week in 1971. Now, trust me, some of you might not remember how powerful Radio 1 was at stroke 1971. You're probably talking over 20 million listeners every morning to one guy. And most singles he played, a single a week, would guarantee a top 30 place. And then the ball would start rolling. Once you got the top 30, you got on top of the pops. And if you got on top of the pops, you got in the top 20. Then you were in the hands of the gods. But remarkably, even though playing a fantastic song like Changes is, it only got to number 66 in England. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's like, there you go. I can't believe that. Anyway, let's move on. Now for a band I would put in a very exclusive list of being a game changer. And what I mean by that is a band who changed musical culture. To give you an example, Elvis. Okay, he turned everything on his head, the Beatles. Okay, and I would put this band in that category because they definitely changed the musical landscape in the 90s. And the band is Nirvana, and the song is Come As You Are. And that's followed by a great version of Buffalo Springfield's Mr. Soul by the equally brilliant Rush.
Yeah.
Lovely. Really good. Love that. Come As You Are, Nirvana, written by Kurt Cobain, obviously. And that was the third track from their... the third track and the second single from the band's immense second studio album, Nevermind, released in March 1992. And like I said before, that album was a game changer. It just... it blew everyone away and redefined rock music, really, didn't it? And they were extremely popular. I mean, I was running clubs around that time, promoting live music in clubs, and I used to be the sort of in-house DJ until the real DJs got in, and I could put that album on and everybody was just delighted. They don't think they even wanted the bands to come on. It was that big, and I had actually people come into the club because word had got around that I was actually playing the album, remarkably. And a great band, and yeah, worthy of their status. Mr. Soul there by Rush. That was from the EP Feedback, released in 2004. Great album, great EP, I should say, though it's about eight tracks, so you could call it an album. And they just chose loads of songs that influenced them when they were young and growing up. And so The Who's in there, I think Cream, and that one there, Buffalo Springfield. And great version. And the actual song, Mr. Soul, is, I'll give you a bit of, this is what I do, I'll try and give you a little bit of background information on the song, written by Neil Young. And it was written because he was, at the time, he was having personal problems with fame, and he really didn't like the whole rock star stardom bit. And this is the sort of bit, I shouldn't really laugh at this, but it was written by Young after an experience and an epilepsy fit. What during a show that the band were playing, the Buffalo Springfield in San Francisco, and this is a bit that does make me smile a little bit, that they say that people in the audience actually just thought it was part of the act. Okay, I'm not going to say any more, but that does make me smile. It's Clash time. Personality.
just to earn our pay. And don't forget to grovel. When the old man spoke up in a bar, he said, I've never been to prison. A lifetime serving one machine is 10 times worse than prison.
Be a bit of Clash, can you? No matter what time you're listening to this, the Clash have to be a part of your musical life. And two great songs that prove that. Lost in the Supermarket, come out in 1979, written by the Clash, written by Joe Strummer and Mick Jones, I should be more precise, and produced by the brilliant Guy Stevens. If you don't know who Guy Stevens is, just type his name in and put producer at the end of it on your computer or on your phone, and you will find out that the guy was an absolute legend. Bank Robber, that wasn't the Clash, that is Jesse Dayton. Yeah, I just found it, as I do. American musician, he's a boy, he's a player, should we say, from Texas, and he's played with Johnny Cash and Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson, and I love that take. To me, it's very, very English, if you get my bit, very northern. As in a little bit of attitude, and love it. Absolutely love that. Bank Robber. Okay, it's time to pay respects. I know it's a bit late, but it's 2 weeks probably after the sad passing of Tina Turner. And yeah, I wanted to play a couple of songs and have a chat about the legend. But I'm not going to play simply the best, you know, etc., etc. For me, personally, Tina Turner around the late 70s, early 70s, was when she impressed me the most, if you get my drift. I think that was a high point because it was rockier and it was rock and roll, and oh, what I'd give to have seen her live. When I found out that she played Dunstable California Ballroom, but I wasn't here then, I was in London. I was relieved, actually, because if it had been later, I'd have kicked myself for not going to see the man. I've often thought if you had a time machine, what you'd do with it, and there's plenty of things that people would do probably to make themselves money, but actually, what I'd use a time machine for is to go back and see some bands at the top of their game in the right environment, i.e. not at Hyde Park, not at Glastonbury, in a room. And I can't imagine actually what it must have been like to see Ike and Tina Turner band. And that was a real band. I mean, he wasn't the greatest gentleman, shall we say, Ike Turner, but he knew how to put a band together in that real sort of James Brown style-y, as you do what I tell you, mate. But it produced fantastic bands, great backing singers, drummers, etc. And see that band live in a ballroom, in a sweaty room, dim lights, you know, probably only a couple of old, you know, white lights shining on the stage, and then Tina Turner in her prime. Must have been amazing. So that's why I have a lot of time for Tina Turner, especially in that period. And to prove my point, here's two songs. I'm hoping... I don't think you might have heard the first one. A take on Whole Lot of Love, and then a great version I Want to Take You Higher. The legend that was, sadly, Tina Turner.
Thank you.
Yeah, a bit different, right? Yeah, I know. Oh, I like Simply the Best, and I like some of her older hits in the 80s, and I was so pleased to see her, you know, get the fame that she craved for, and she deserved, actually, for all the legwork that she'd done, all the hard work, all that chilling circuit, and the tours, endless tours, and then to reach, at a time when she probably thought it was all over, to reach her, you know, her potential was great for her, and everyone was pleased for her, wasn't they? Whole Lot of Love. That was taken from an album called Acid Queen. And if you know Tina Turner, she played the Acid Queen in Ken Russell's film version of Tommy. Pretty much stole the show, if I'm honest. It was a bit bizarre, that film, but she was great in it. And that album actually was the last album she did with Ike Turner before she, let's just say, went to pastures new. I think she, what was it, put a couple of dollars in her handbag, didn't she, and took a plane, and that was it. I Want to Take You Higher, that was that came out in 1970 as well. Went up to number 34 in the charts. And like I said earlier, I did prefer a sort of late 60s, early 70s period than the multi-million Simply the Best Days. But she was a remarkable lady who had remarkable talent. And it was lovely to see, wasn't it, the worldwide tributes to her sad passing. But I did smile a little bit because forget all the butter wouldn't melt comments. Tina Turner was tough. You do not get to the top of the toppermost, as Mr. Lennon used to say, without having an edge. And from what I've read, she would have given Madonna a run for her money for being a bit of a diva. And if you want an example of that, and it is a brilliant book, Elton John's biography. Some biographies you can just tell are ghostwritten. Elton John's is not. And it's very revealing, shall we say, and very engaging. And Sir Elton knows how to write a biography, and I found it absolutely fascinating. But there was this little bit in it where he... like everyone, he loved Ike and Tina Turner, or Tina Turner, and he got asked to do a massive, you know, I don't know what it was, a big American TV show, you know, tribute to Tina Turner, whatever. And they asked him if he played piano, and he went, yeah, yeah, sure. And he went to the rehearsal, and it all started to go a bit pear-shaped, because what, for one, he was kept waiting with the band for half hour for Tina Turner to turn up, which he was not impressed with. You know, we are talking Elton John here. And then to make matters worse, I don't know what song it was. They started playing it and she stopped the entire band and sort of shouted over to Elton, "No, you're playing it in the wrong key." And if you know Elton John, if you're talking divas, he is the top, I mean. And he says it, you know, it was just a blazing row. They just went for it. And he just went for it and let her have it and everything. But he still had to do the gig. He still had to do the gig. And he just said, I think it was just, you know, she wanted a bit of brinkmanship. And he forgave her, as he did. But I would have loved to. My time machine would have took me back to that moment, I'll tell you, just to see that. And talking of Elton, it's his big day, isn't it, coming up at Glastonbury. And great, great. What a guy, what a guy. I'm not a massive fan of his music, but if you like music, you have to appreciate Elton John. And, yeah, what a guy, what a guy, what a survivor. And he's written some absolutely brilliant songs and sung and produced some brilliant songs. And, yeah, he is, mate. He's one of the greatest piano players this country's ever produced. End of. He never really gets the credit for it. So I'm going to do a little tribute as we go out now. Yeah, shorter show this week. I thought I'd just start it with around about an hour. Yeah, some weeks it might go to 2 hours, or we do two shows. This is the beauty of doing a download show. I can just sort of do what I like. And those of you who know me, I like doing just what I like. But anyway, getting back to Elton, to prove he is a great keyboard player, there's a good version of his good friend, Mark Boland's Get It On, with Bono on vocals and Sir Elton on the keys. And then, yeah, in respect of Elton's forthcoming appearance at Glastonbury, a couple of tunes, one from Florence and Machine, who were a big hit at Glastonbury a few years ago, rendition of Tiny Dancer, and then the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, take on Holy Moses. I hope you've enjoyed this little show. And great, I shall be around next week. And but you can download it whenever you want. Tell your friends, tell the world, pass it on, and who knows. But have a great week. I'll be back next week. Meanwhile, cue Sir Reg, i.e. Elton John.
Hey, I love you. You're dirty and sweet, oh yeah. Well, you're slim and you're weak. You got the teeth of a hydra upon you. You're dirty, sweet, and you're my girl. Get it on, bang the gong. Get it on. Get it on, bang the gong.
like a car. You've got a hubcap, diamond star halo. You're built like a car, oh yeah. You're an untamed youth, that's the truth. With your cloak full of egos, you're dirty, sweet, and you're my girl. Get it on, bang it on, get it on. Get it on, bang it on, get it on. Well, you're windy and wild, you got the blues in your shoes and your stockings. You're windy and wild, oh yeah. Like a car, you got a hubcap, diamond star halo. You're dirty, sweet, and you're my girl.
Turning back. blue jean baby, LA lady, seems